promise for you.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
I'd like to welcome you today as we are observing our patriotic musical. As you know, many of the churches across the nation now aren't doing that anymore. And we are so proud of our country and what God's done here and what He established in our nation. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So if you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you, if you would, to fill out the little guest registration form inside the cell. That's just a perforated thing you can tear off so we can connect with you. If you could turn that in, we would appreciate it. And at this time, let's stand and greet each other, handshakes, fist bumps, whatever you're doing these days. Give a greeting. Please be seated. I'd like to share a few more announcements with you. As you know, tomorrow we're having our 4th of July picnic over at the Reborn Farm, and want to encourage you to come and take part. Some of our folks went over for assistance from our Spanish congregation, and we put up our event tent. We're going to need some help with chairs. If you'll see David Blackwell immediately following the service, we're going to be loading some chairs in our church truck to take over tomorrow. And then tomorrow at 10, if you could meet Gary Porter. Where is Gary? Gary, raise your hand there. There he is. Yeah, see Gary afterwards. If you could help us tomorrow at 10, show up over there to set up some chairs in the tent for that event. We're going to be having the Fire Station 23 is coming with their chief, their captain, and they're going to be doing a fire demonstration for us as part of it. They're going to break out a hose and let some of the kids hose us down. Not really, but at least use the hose, whatever that's going to mean. Maybe they'll be flying around. I don't know. But that'll be exciting. We'll have fun with them. We're going to also be trying to reach them. It'll be about a half a dozen of these firemen. I met them. I went over to talk to them about burning our debris pile, which had gotten as big as like a van. And it's like burning a small house. And they all piled out into the driveway there, their big driveway on 76, and got to interact with them and had a great time, and they're excited. And I said, y'all are firemen. Y'all want to come see a fire? And they, of course they did, but they couldn't. So the fire chief for Martin County gave us our fire permit. He filled it out for us and did it for us over the phone. And I said, do you need to have some firemen out there for us to burn it? And he said, Pastor, just go out there with your permit and a match and set it off. And so I did with several of our guys there, and the flames were about 25 feet high. It caused quite a bit of attention to the property. But now it's just a black spot. It looks like the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, it's just a black spot there in the farm. And so we're going to have a great time tomorrow. Hot dogs and hamburgers. If you would, bring the items according to your alphabetical name there as they're listed. And if you're bringing drinks, go ahead and ice them down and bring them in a cooler that way. And we're going to have a great time together. And then this Wednesday, we're going to be looking at the video, the DVD from Denise D'Souza on 2,000 Mules. And this is an absolute concrete, empirical documentation of what happened in the 2020 election. And if you want to see something, this bedrock fact, irrefutable, about really the theft of that election, you need to come see this. We're going to be in the choir room over behind the assembly area, behind the sanctuary. And then Vicki Davis, our supervisor of elections, will be coming. And she's going to talk to us about how you could serve in the election to help make sure it's a true election and be a part of it. And it'll be a blessing to you. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. And then she'll answer some questions with us afterwards as well. And let's see what else. After our service, I want to encourage you, as you know, this is Andrew's last Sunday with us, as he's going to come and handle big money in the future and be a banker and up in North Carolina for Truist. And we love him. Praise God for the 4 years he spent with us. So I want to encourage you after the service, come by and express your love to he and Michelle. And if you want to bless them, please do. And thank you so much, Andrew, for everything you've done. We love you. And praise God for you. We're going to be in prayer for you. And I think that's it with my announcements. And so, God bless you. Enjoy the musical.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In 1787, Benjamin Franklin was leaving as they had drafted the Declaration of Independence in our government. And as he was leaving and as these things were occurring, a lady came up to him and said, "Doctor, what is it exactly that we have, a republic or a monarchy?" And his response was, "A republic, if you can keep it." It's interesting that in our Declaration of Independence, the drafters said this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident." In other words, they're obvious. "That all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." It's interesting that they began, and at the time they said that, it was such a revolutionary concept that all of us are equal before God. And our founding fathers held that to be their deepest conviction. Many of them were abolitionists. They wanted the freedom of every human being when it was not even popular in that day. And then they go on to say this, that to secure these rights, governments are installed or instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That's us. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to its ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to install a new government, laying its foundation on the principles of organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect safety and happiness. Our founding fathers said our government was only to exist as it held to these original purposes, and that as the consenting body, if it ever varied from that, we were to abolish it and change it. We were to start it again. It's interesting that this was the foundation for our Declaration of Independence from England and to become our own nation before God. It's interesting that people debate the history of our nation and they are rewriting it, as you know, drastically, radically, to erase the heritage that God gave us. But this nation was established as a Christian nation. And for the first 100 years, they all ascertained that and reasserted it. The U.S. Supreme Court of 1892, in the Church of the Holy Trinity, versus the U.S. ruled, our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based upon and embark upon the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian in their final statement, this is a Christian nation, a ruling of the United States Supreme Court. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The reason we're shifting and drifting and moving away is because we've lost our understanding of our heritage. And we have to be bold enough, we have to be willing to suffer, to stand for justice, and speak for truth. In the 2020 election cycle, there were many that were afraid or apprehensive to put a Trump bumper sticker on their car for fear of having their cars vandalized. Some of our own members said that they actually had people in parking lots while they were sitting in their cars try to peel their bumper stickers off of their car. We see the things that are going on here. We see clearly, and we're told not to look, not to see, nothing to see here. Beloved, we need to stand strong. We need to be encouraged, just like every song we sang today. We need to stand strong in our convictions. We need to stand strong with truth. We need to speak out, even if we suffer reproach. Our founding fathers literally committed their life, their liberty, their sacred honor, and they literally lost their wealth. Many of them were very wealthy. They lost their wealth. They lost their health. They lost their lives because they believed in freedom. They believed in it so deeply, they said, I'm going to give it all I've got. We only pass through this life once, and we need to stand for something. And it's been said, and it's true, that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. I just want to encourage y'all today. I know you do stand. I know you do speak out. I know you do witness. I know that you represent for the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you to continue to do so. But today and tomorrow, as we celebrate the independence that God gave us 250 years ago, we need to also celebrate the liberties that God's given us. You and I have these founding documents behind us. We have our Bill of Rights. We have our amendments. We have our Constitution. And God in His sovereignty has given us that liberty. There is a scriptural precedent for this. The Apostle Paul was chained to a post and about to be whipped by a Roman soldier. And as he was about to do that, the Apostle Paul, with his hands in chains, turned to him and he said, is it right for you to punish and to whip a Roman citizen without due process? And the soldier was horrified. He said, Are you a Roman citizen? He said, yes. He said, well, I got mine great expense. How did you get yours? And he stopped from the whipping. He took Paul off of the post, and he basically from that point began to protect him. He invoked his rights. He invoked his understanding of the documents and the heritage that he had in that day. Beloved, we need to do the same. All of my ministry life, all the way back to my first church in Hollywood, when I've been asked to pray at school board meetings, at schools, at graduations, at city councils, at county councils, I've had them say, we're going to send you a guideline for prayer. Even when I prayed for the state legislature, to this point in my life, I've never read one of them. And I never will. Because I am a man born of God with a free conscience in a free nation. And I have the right to pray according to my convictions. And in every case, in every circumstance, it divides both ways. Earlier on, years ago, there was not really any backlash to it when I closed in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as the decades rolled by and as time has gone on, at the point of the House legislature, all the Democrats walked out and held a press conference. And I want to tell you, at the same time, in the other way, I had godly people, actually most of them Republicans, come and say, thank you for praying. Thank you for praying to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for praying for unborn babies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so you will not experience those thank yous or the criticism if you don't take a stand. But every time you do, God will encourage you. God will strengthen not only you, but everyone around you. And I just want to encourage all of you, be bold. Don't believe this lie about our nation, about our walk in Christ, about our representation. We are celebrating tomorrow Independence Day, and that's independence from tyranny. And we are currently involved in the attempt of a tyranny right now in our nation. And we need to resist it along with all the other patriots. Can I hear an amen? I love you. It's a joy to be your pastor. We're going to miss Andrew. Bless his heart. He fought through it. A lot of emotions today. And we're sending him out. He's going to be a witness there in that colony of North Carolina. And he's going up there with the business people up there to be a witness for Christ and win people to Jesus. And so we're going to be going on. In fact, tomorrow at our picnic, we're going to be introducing you to two praise leaders that are going to be assisting us and helping us from this point on in following Andrew. And they're going to lead us in some songs tomorrow as we worship God together out on the property. But God in his sovereignty is works, and he's working in a supernatural way. I've had on my heart a burden to call the owner of Hobby Lobby and ask him to help us. Years ago, I was having lunch with Jerry Falwell, and we were at Shaker's Restaurant right across the street from the campus. And Dr. Falwell said, Daryl, do you know how much we paid for the Erickson building right across the street, 1 million square feet? And I said, no, sir, I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know. $3,000. I said, $3,000? He said, yes. Steve, the owner of Hobby Lobby, bought it and sold it to us for $3,000. So I called and I talked to their receptionist at their corporate, and I said, please have the owner call me. And I called several times, and I intended to keep calling until something happened, and I didn't have to. I was listening to my voicemail, was that day before yesterday, and it was Steve calling. He was on a trip in Turkey, maybe a mission trip, and the owner of Hobby Lobby said, Pastor Orman, this is Steve Green, and can you give me a call back? I understand you've called us, and I'd like to talk to you. So I called him back, talked to him for a while, rehearsed my Jerry Falwell story with him. And then some other things I learned from Farwell about it. I said, I understand you offered him property up north. Yeah, in Chicago, and he turned it down. And I said, well, we wouldn't turn anything down. And so this week he asked me to send him a packet of information about us and our project for him to pray over. And I want y'all to pray for him. His name is Steve, and pray for him. And pray for God's sovereignty to work in that. Some amazing things are going to happen one way or another from somewhere. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so I just want to tell you I love you today and praise God for you. And look forward to tomorrow. If you're watching with us on social media or listening by the radio, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me if you haven't already given your heart and life to Christ, and to receive him as your Savior and as your Lord. I got a call this week from a pastor in Mississippi who's been pastoring at his church for 28 years. And I knew him, I spoke to him in a youth group years ago, and he said, Brother Darrell, he said, years ago you spoke at our youth bonfire. And I remember it, I was just called to preach. I took an old G.I. Joe my brother had with me, and I preached on hell by the bonfire, and I threw G.I. Joe in it. And 12 of the youth gave their life to Christ. And Steve said, I've never forgotten that sermon on hell. And I preach on hell myself. In fact, I'm going to have Steve come and speak to us here in the future. But it's exciting to be a witness for Christ and to see God doing things in a supernatural way. Can I hear an amen? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. If you haven't given your life to Christ, if you just say, Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart, forgive me of all of my sins and cleanse me and take control of me and be my Lord and Savior. I just want to tell you I love you and I praise you and I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. One last announcement. I'm going to hand it back over for the finale for our choir. On the parking tomorrow, if you're a little bit disabled or you have mobility issues, if when you pull in, Mike Dowdy and some others will be directing, just go past the tent, past our event trailer, and park to the left over there near the tent. And if you're ambulatory, if you can get around real good, park to the right of the house and just pull in as you come. And we need to leave a space for the fire engine to get in. And so we're going to have a great time together tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you.
This is Dr. Darrell Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Darrell Orman.
Today, I'd like for us to look at some passages that relate to what's going on around us, and I hope these passages will bring strength and courage to you. They've done that in my life as I've been looking at them and preparing for today, and I think God will bless us. I've got a prayer request. Yesterday, I had a knock on the door yesterday morning. And it was the water meter guy. And so he came and he said, do you have any water turned on in your house? And I said, not at the present. And he said, well, your meter's running just a little bit, you know, so I think I've got a leak somewhere. But so I come outside with him and I turn on and off a couple of faucets outside and do some of that, you know. And so then I begin to witness to him. He's a young guy, just out of high school, probably in the last couple of years. His name's Robert. And as a witness to him, he basically said, well, I grew up in church, and my parents believe all that, but I don't. And, you know, I've abandoned that. And so I said, well, what of it have you abandoned? Do you not believe that Jesus existed? And, oh, no, he probably existed, you know. And I said, well, do you feel like that these things were stripped away from you in school? And he said, well, not necessarily. And so I went ahead and hit him with one of my big historical proof texts, Dr. Simon Greenleaf, Royale Professor of Law. Many of you have heard me share that before. And so anyway, I hit him with that proof text, you know, in that conversion of that agnostic Jewish law professor. And again, still, I said, are you sure you don't want to give your life to Christ? He said, oh, no, I don't think I need to. And I said, well, you're risking everything. You're risking everything.
Because if it's true, there's heaven and hell, and you've got hell to shun, heaven to gain. And if it's not true, you can live a better life as a believer and as a Christian, but you're rolling the dice on everything. And so I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes, please do. So I grabbed his hand, prayed for Robert. And I'd like to ask all of y'all this week to pray for him. Pray for God's Spirit to fall on him and save that young man and bring him into the kingdom of heaven. So today we want to look at our permanent residency of safety. If you've got your Bible, turn to Psalm 91. Now, we're going to be looking at a lot of different verses today, and so you might want to just jot them down as we go through and look at it. And, of course, we're getting hit with coronavirus 24/7. I mean, it's every channel all day long. You'd think it was Russia, you know. So it's our new thing. But it's a serious pandemic. The mortality rate on it, some are saying 1 to 3%, when the normal flu is 1 out of 1,000. So it's at least 100 times more virulent than the normal flu. And of course, but the good thing about it is it's not an Ebola, and the vast 80% of people recover with mild symptoms. And so that's the aspect of it. Florida, at least as of yesterday, 70 cases in Florida and a mortality of 5. 5 died and went out into eternity out of the 70 cases that have been diagnosed. So today I want us to look at the first part of Psalm 91. We're going to look at the four verses and kind of dig into them a little bit. Number one, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his minions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. So first of all, we see that in the scriptures here that it says that God is my shelter. It's interesting that there's a number of verses that refer in the Psalms to God being our shelter. And when the term dwells there means take up a permanent residence. It means that you and I are to move our lives under God and under Christ, and we're to live there day in and day out, 24/7, the rest of our lives. We're to let that be our dwelling place. He's to be the sphere of our living as he surrounds us and shelters us. Now, I'd like you to jot down these. Here's some other references for us to look at. Psalm 27:5. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And then Psalm 31:20, just a couple pages over. Thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man. Thou dost keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. And then Psalm 32:7. I will rejoice and be glad in thy loving kindness because thou hast... 32:7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with the songs of deliverance. It's interesting that Corrie ten Boom was a very godly woman, she and her family, her sister Bessie. And in World War II, they were hiding Jews in their home from the Nazis to keep them from being exterminated. And they made a covenant within their family. We will not lie about this. We will not violate the commands of God to protect these Jewish people. At one point, some of the stormtroopers came into their house and then into their kitchen, and they were searching their house looking for Jews, and they had a compartment underneath the floor of their table. They had a kitchen table. They had a wooden floor. and they had a very well concealed compartment under there with a carpet over it and then the table. And so the German soldiers were coming through their house and they said, "Do you have any Jews hidden here?" And they said, "Yeah, they're under the table." And they kind of said it like that. And so they look under the tablecloth and they didn't go any further than that. God kept them from digging under, moving the rug and going down. But they finally did catch them. And so they sent them off to concentration camps. And Corrie ten Boom and her sister Bessie were sent to a particular one. This was in December of 1944. And this particular concentration camp they were sent to, the barracks they were sent to was notorious of all the barracks that were in this camp because it was flea infested. And so they were constantly itching. They had trouble sleeping at night. They were in misery. Misery, misery, misery. And so, as we all do as believers at times in our life, they were saying, "Lord, we love you. We were trying to protect your people. And now here we are in this concentration camp. And here we are now in the worst building in the entire camp, infested with these fleas." Now, there were certain things they had begun doing in that particular building. They were having some Bible studies and were speaking of Christ and having Bible studies with some of the other prisoners. And they were being a great witness and influence for Christ. They had written up some scriptures and some songs and different things. They had some contraband, if you will, that was hidden inside the building. And finally, after weeks and weeks and weeks of this, they were complaining and griping, and a couple of the other believers in the building said, "Well, do you know why of all the buildings in this camp, ours is the only one that's not searched? Do you know why we have the liberty to worship like we do, the liberty to have our Bible studies, to speak of Christ, to write up scriptures and hide these things and share them with one another inside our building? It's because of the fleas. The guards will not come in here because of the fleas." And Corrie ten Boom said, "I never thought in all my life that I would raise my hands to God and thank him for fleas. But when we hide in the shelter of the Almighty, in the shadow of the shelter of the Almighty, that secret place, he can protect us. And he can deliver us. Secondly, God is my refuge." And if you'll look with me in verse 2, we see in our passage, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress." And then in verse 9, "For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." In Psalm 14:6, he says this, "You would put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord is my refuge." And we see also in scriptures in 94:22, that he says this, "But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge." We have the house of refuge here, which is there, and it's one of the oldest sites here on the Treasure Coast. And it was a place built for the mariners and the sea people when they were in storms and trouble and distress. They were able to go there and find sanctuary. And God is our refuge. He's a place for us to retreat to. And as we're looking at something none of us have ever experienced before in our lifetime, with such a dire response, when we're looking at the virus across this world and what's going on with that. I looked up the statistics on it, the latest that they came out with worldwide, 156,400 total confirmed cases, 5,833 dead across the world, and 73,968 recovered so far. And you look at the United States and our situation, 5,000 nationwide. You look at Florida from what they said last night, 70 cases in all of Florida with 5 confirmed dead. And you look at these things and you say, but God is our refuge. And when I think about that, I just have to say, and I want to say publicly, and I become much more vociferous about this, thank God for President Donald J. Trump. Can I hear an amen? I mean, there are communities in Italy that have more cases than we have nationwide because President Trump put a ban, first of all, on China and flights from China, and then after that on Europe. And he was seeking to protect our country. He was highly criticized. And he's criticized either way he goes. I mean, if he personally had the antibodies in his body and they extracted them from him to cure the coronavirus, they would say, what a megalomaniac he is to claim credit for having the antibodies. They would. They'd criticize him for curing it. But we see that that's a provision of God when we think about what God does for us. Him doing that is equal to God answering our prayers with Hurricane Dorian. And I'm going to be referring to that one the rest of my life. A world record hurricane, 185 miles per hour for 4 or 5 days sustained, like a gigantic tornado. And I've got the footage on my phone and I look at it often, where the storm stopped and the western eyewall of it was just off our coast. We never lost the line of the coast of Florida here on the East Coast. And that gigantic monster stopped and God spared us. And God's doing the same thing with this virus in the sense of keeping the onus of it so far away from us. Now, like all viruses, it will run its course. But I just want to encourage you to turn this around, just like Corrie ten Boom and Bessie with the fleas. And say, now is the best time to talk to people about their mortality. Now is where everybody is thinking about the Grim Reaper. Now is a time when everyone is absolutely faced with their personal mortality. And now is a time for us to say, there's a refuge, there's a place of safety, there's a place of sanctuary that we can seek out in the Lord. He is my refuge. Number 3, God is my fortress. In the second half of verse 2 in our passage, God is our fortress. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. In Psalm 18, verse 2, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. God Almighty. And then in 94, Psalm 94, or excuse me, in Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, for thy name's sake thou wilt lead me and guide me. And then in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of distress, to thee the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but falsehood, futility, and things of no profit. And so we see that God points out again and again and again that he is literally a fortress for us. And a fortress is a great thing. We looked at earlier Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and how important it was for the city to be walled and to be protected. God is my fortress. He is my strength. Number 4, God is my deliverer. If you'll look again in our passage in verse 3. For it is he who delivers you from, first of all, the snare of the trapper. The snare of the trapper. In 124, Psalm 124, verse 7, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. In the spring of 2013, April 23rd, that week I became aware of what was called the pillowcase burglars. And these burglars were primarily from Broward County, primarily Haitians, actually, and from Broward County, and they were either renting or stealing vehicles, and then they would tint the windows, and they would bring them up here into our neighborhoods, and during the morning, they would knock on the doors of homes to see if people were home. If they were home, they would ask directions to the Turnpike or 95, and if they were not home, they would go around to the back door, break in, grab pillowcases, and take things that would fit, valuable things that would fit in pillowcases, jewelry, money, small electronic items. And if the people had dogs, it didn't matter. They would spray them with oven spray, and it would incapacitate them. And if they had alarm systems, they were impervious to it, and they had gotten real good at it. They were in and out within like 3 minutes. And the sheriff's department here is one of the best on the east coast of Florida, but they were having a difficulty in apprehending them. And when I became aware of it was when a policeman was stationed on our cul-de-sac street on Ridge Lane. One of the judges lived there, and he and his wife, their home had been broken into down the street from us, and a corner lot next to Palm City Road, and they had pillowcase burglars had burglarized their home. And so that's when I became aware of it. So I called the sheriff a week later, and I said, would you come and we'll tape you and do a service announcement and talk to the citizens, talk to our people in the community about how to protect themselves, what to look for. And he said, I'd love to do that. So Sheriff Snyder came here. We sat in the sound booth, and I interviewed him about this, and we taped kind of a service announcement. At the end, I thanked him for coming, and I said, let me pray for you, Sheriff in St. Lucie County, and pray as y'all protect us in these counties. That'd be great, Pastor, he said. So I prayed for him, and Lord, please give him wisdom, Sheriff Snyder. Give him guidance. And Lord, if you would, please apprehend these pillowcase burglars and bring a repentance in their life so they can give their life to Jesus. Well, I said all that, and I prayed an elaborate prayer. And then at the end, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. As soon as I said amen, the sheriff's cell phone rang. And so I've got the tape of us in the booth, the audio of Sheriff Snyder. Jim, have you got that? This is his response.
My God, and you know, I love the Lord, and I believe him, but until you have to ask him to part that Red Sea,
amen.
It takes a little faith. And as you finished your prayer and said amen, the road captain called me and said, hey, we got two in custody.
Just caught them.
Just now.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, right. I want to encourage everyone in our listening audience to pray, and let's give God a chance to really show himself. He loves to do it, and we want to give him all the honor and glory, and we will. And we praise the Lord for this. So, folks, just pray for God to just drop a wall around Martin and St. Lucie County, right. And let's see what happens.
Let's do it.
Amen.
Thanks, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. He elaborated after that, and he said, Pastor, just in one of the neighborhoods over here, our guys ran one of the cars off of the road, and three of the burglars jumped out, and they were running through the neighborhood. And they just called me, and they've caught two of them, and they're closing in on the third one. And this was April 23rd of 2013. And I said, have y'all been catching a lot of them? He said, no, these are the first ones we've caught in a few months. And I said, that is awesome. And so we prayed about it, and I called him later that summer, and he said, Pastor, did you know, this was at the end of the summer, from April till the end of the summer, he said, did you know that we've not had another pillowcase burglary since we prayed? He said, when I have some other cases come up, can I come over and pray with you about them? Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And so when we look at this and we see God says, I want to deliver you from the trapper's snare. And he's a great deliverer for us. And then, of course, as we're in this situation now, from the deadly pestilence. He delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. In verse 6, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, the scriptures tell us this. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee, for thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our distress, and thou wilt hear and deliver us. And so we see that God wants to deliver us from the fowler's snare, the trapper's snare, from the deadly pestilence that surrounds us. And then number 5, God is my cover. God is my cover. If you look in verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. First of all, he says that he'll cover us with his wings. Isaiah 51:16 says this, and I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. God says, I want to cover you with my wings. Years ago, I think it was National Geographic, I was looking at an article about the fires in Yellowstone Park years ago. And as the rangers were going through and looking at all the damage, they came upon this nest, a bird's nest, that had a large bird charred to death on top of the nest. And when they removed that bird, the baby chicks were alive underneath it. That mother bird had sat down and nestled down over those chicks during that fire as it roared past, sacrificed her life, was cooked to ashes, and yet completely preserved the life of those baby chicks. What an amazing thing. What a picture of God Almighty and his faithfulness to us. His desire to protect us, to surround us, to shield us as he does. We see that in Psalm 17, verse 8, it says this, keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me in the shadow of thy wings. This can be a prayer we pray for each other. We pray for our families. Dear God, cover me with your wings. Cover my children. Cover my grandchildren. Cover my family with your wings. And station yourself around me. Then we see also with his shield. He refers to that in verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions. He will cover us with his wings. And his faithfulness is a shield. It's interesting that that's one of the defensive weapons found in Ephesians 6 of the armor of God. Take up the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What are fiery darts? Fiery darts are thoughts in our mind. Negative thoughts. Critical thoughts. Thoughts that are not of Christ. They're thoughts that drive us away from the love of Christ, the joy of Christ. These are the thoughts in our life that are contradictory to our walk in Christ, to being spirit-filled, to being controlled by God. He says we're to hold up the shield of faith. Satan, I rebuke you. I don't accept that. These fiery darts. He doesn't want us to be fearful, even with what they're referring to as a pandemic. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be foolish. The scripture says the wise person sees danger and hides themselves. We're to do good practices, and we're to look out for ourselves, and we're to be careful. But he says, when we hold up the shield of faith, God, I trust you. God, I recognize that you will protect me. You promised to. Cover me with your wings. Let me hold my shield up and let me be protected. And then we see finally with his bulwark. That's a defensive wall, an extension of a ship's sides above the level of the deck. Biblically, it's a wall of earth or material built for defense. I think about this particular extension of the sides of a ship. I've been out many times through the years fishing in very turbulent water. One of our men here and I today went out from the Keys a year or two ago, and we were in like 5-foot seas. And, I mean, you had to constantly think about standing on the side of the boat. If we'd been on a flats boat, it would have thrown us both into the ocean. But because we were on a big party boat, it had the bulwark. It had the sides that came up with a rail at the top to hold on to. If you ever watch The Deadliest Catch, it's one of the most dangerous professions in the world. Those crab fishermen up in the North Pacific, North Atlantic, and as they go out for crabs, and you'll see many times that those guys have to hang on to the bulwark. They have to hang on to the side of the boat from being swept off into the icy cold ocean. And so God says that he is that for us. He is our wall that comes up and protects us. He is that mound of dirt. He is that shield for us to protect us in times of trouble. I want to encourage you to take Psalm 91, read through it. We're going to look at it again next week, another portion of it. And let this be kind of a theme. Go over it with your families. And what does this mean? What does that mean? What is God saying here? What's he promising to do for us? And to accept his protection. All of his protection starts with divine adoption, where we're adopted into the family of God, where he accepts us into his family. I want to ask if you would to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'd like to ask you, are you in the safety of Christ? Are you in the family of God? Are you under the wings of the Almighty? Are you in the safe place, the sheltered place, the shadow of the Almighty? If not, you can be today. Just ask him, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive my sins, the coldness of my heart. Please cleanse me. Please, dear God, fill me with your Spirit. Take control of me. Live through me. Lord, dwell in me and let me be your dwelling place. Lord, I love you and I thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you'd pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you, I follow you, I trust you. Cover me and my family with your wings. Dear God, if you would, rebuke the pestilence that comes at night, the arrow that flies at day. Lord, please protect us and let us be a witness for you. Protect our city. Protect our county. Protect our state. Protect our nation. Lord, if you would, in grace and mercy, let your Spirit move over the earth. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation this morning and like you to do business with God today. And however he's speaking to your heart, we want to invite you to come. We'd be glad to pray with you. Let's stand together and sing and you come. I just want to tell you, I love you. It's good to see y'all today and to worship Jesus with you. I hope and pray that Psalm 91 will be a comfort to you as God speaks to your heart through it. I want to encourage you to go over the verses and rehearse them if you're married or with your family. Rehearse it with them. And we just trust God through all this and continue on. Now's an excellent time to share your testimony with people. And just want to encourage you to do that. All right. And we have someone to introduce to you. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Okay. This is Daniel. Daniel, how do you say your last name?
Kodzel.
Come stand right here with me. Daniel Kodzel, and came to the service today. This was your first time here, right? And he said, during the invitation, the Spirit of God really spoke to his heart, and he gave his heart and life to Christ. Amen. I want to encourage you to pray for Daniel. He's going through, God's really gotten his attention. He's going through a deep, deep water in his life. His brother committed suicide 2 weeks ago, and God's using all of that in his life. And so I want to encourage y'all to pray for him. And how many of you make a commitment to pray for Daniel? Would you raise your hands and say amen? Amen. We love you and thank God for what he's done in your life today, as he's done for us. And praise God. That's amen. And we want to welcome you to our family to serve Jesus. We love you. We would normally give you lots of hugs, but right now we're trying to start a new practice.
I don't like hugs anyway.
You don't like hugs?
No, sometimes I do.
You're insulated today. Okay. Later we will hug you. How many of you will hug him later? Amen? Amen. Okay. When the storm passes over. But if you want to come by and stand.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.